a lot of crucial and important games coming down to the wire, including one that had a 0-0 halftime score. What, do you think it was a Super Bowl or something? Anyways, enough jinxing and enough silly random setups. I'm Kyle, the student of the game, bringing you Week 9 action with the help of my wonderful co-hosts, Chris and Weasel. Let's go through around the league a little bit here, do a little homeroom discussion here. First of all, I don't want to have to do this, but the media makes me kind of have to do it so we can talk about how dumb they're being. Tebow, he's 2-1 as a starter this year. After that slapdown by the Lions, he managed to lead an effort that beat the Raiders. Granted, it's the AFC West and they're awful. Can anybody else tell me what the right move for the Bronco is? Because I'm really kind of confused.
You mean right move to start him or not?
Right.
Yeah, start him. Why not?
Okay.
He's doing all right. I think he had 2 touchdowns and I got over 100 yards rushing. I think it was
He had 118 yards rushing and 124 yards passing.
It's weird. He does a college kind of thing where he either hands off to McGahee.
Very good.
Or he runs it. I mean,
well, the his first big run I enjoyed was like he did a fake handoff to McGahee and everyone bit it and he's like ski gas and runs off. I think it was a good 20-yard run at least. But here's the reason why it's tough. I believe that the Broncos are now 3-5, 2 games out of first. I believe the Chargers have a 500 record. 1 game back on the Chiefs. Might have given a little bit about the featured game coming up here, but so there's a real playoff chance here still. You know, kind of like being in the NFC West last year. So, still start Tebow? Chris?
Yeah, for the time being, you have to say, because how not just his performance, but what the rest of the team elevates, the energy he has on the field.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I lead is because the way the rest of the team's reacting to him, too. So I guess we're across the board on this.
I mean, you got to realize he got, besides the 118 yards running, I mean, he got help from everybody else on the team. I mean, Champ Bailey had 2 interceptions. Eddie Royal had an 85-yard punt return for a touchdown. McGahee had 163 yards rushing on 20 carries.
And it helps with, I think pretty much for teams playing against Tebow, you're going to have one linebacker the whole game. I bet he's going to shadow Tebow.
Spy, yeah.
And I mean, it's Tebow, I think, also about him is that, I mean, he is finding ways to win games. I mean, Lions were a tough game, but it's just the thing I worry about him is because he's a running quarterback, I don't know if he's taking too many hits.
That's an interesting thought. No one's really talked about that yet. But
one hit against the knee, one hit helmet to helmet, you can get a concussion, and that could really mess him up.
Oh, darn, that means they would have to go to Orton.
That'll come in 2 weeks when he plays against the Jets.
Yeah. Could be. And I mean, the last time he faced a tough defense, the Lions, didn't go so hot. I think there's a little bit of what I might call the Bowler effect here. You know, Kyle Bowler, who looked good against crappy defenses and was put to task when they weren't good defenses he was playing against.
Well, this is 3 starts for him. I mean,
We are all very much overreacting. I think as a starter, he's about 500. You know, certainly not going to be in any of our Rookie of the Year discussions, only because he hasn't played enough games.
Yeah. He's not even a rookie this year.
Yeah, exactly. So
his next 6 games: Kansas City, the Jets, Chargers, Vikings, Bears, Patriots, then Buffalo. Actually, Buffalo's defense.
There's only 2 tough defenses there, and I'd say 2.5 because Jared Allen is implied in one of those. It'll be very interesting to see how that goes. So, yeah, anyways. So we'll skip over from Tebow. This is some other buzz that I've heard, and because I'm a Niners fan, I have to bring it up. But because I'm the host of this show, I have to bring it up too. People are actually talking about the 49ers as a Super Bowl contender. Weasel, what you got?
Trent Dilfer
is...
It's the Trent Dilfer defense, pretty much. They got a defense. I think they got a good running back, Frank Gore. I think he's okay.
They got a
tight end that's good.
Kendall Hunter's a good running back as
well. They got a They got a good number one wide receiver. You know, Alex Smith manages the game, doesn't do anything stupid.
Do you mean Vernon Davis or Michael Crabtree? I had to say it.
Yeah, he can line up on the outside.
He got a good starting fullback. Had a 30-yard touchdown reception yesterday.
Thank you, UCF owner.
And so, I think...
That's Brutus Miller, for those who didn't recognize.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what did he have?
A 30-yard touchdown reception.
He had a touchdown. He was playing fullback.
They ran a wheel out of the backfield with him and on there, and the linebackers. He had like five steps of the linebacker.
It looks like something he's called for our flag football team before. It was pretty funny.
All in. But, yeah, I think... Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. I mean, he's nothing fancy.
Kerry Collins made it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And he lost me like $100 with, you remember that?
Yeah, that's how Trent...
Still bitter with that last interception.
No, that wasn't...
That was Kerry Collins.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Raiders.
No, interception. Raiders, that was,
dude, Raiders was Rich Gannon, homie.
Rich Gannon?
Kerry Collins played against Trent Dilfer. That's why it's significant.
Okay.
Yeah.
But,
still better, you can tell.
Yeah. Definitely. Chris.
The way they've been playing the first, seven games?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are, or eight games, or whatever they're at now. Eight games.
7-1, yeah, you're right. Eight games.
Yeah. Eight games.
Thought they are. Seven wins.
Right now, yeah, they're looking like everyone thought they would look like last year.
That's an interesting response.
Everyone predicted them and, you know, to go far in the playoffs last year, and they didn't. And this year, just, I don't know if coaching change or what, but they do look like, I mean, they got the defense. They did lose a couple key players in defense, but it looks like they're
Manny Wells and Nate Clements, but they've been replaced, so would appear they've been replaced.
Takeo Spikes.
Takeo Spikes, good call.
So, it looked like they lost some key players, but, you know, then again, they're actually stronger now. It seems like the Bengals, too. You thought they'd fall apart, their defense.
Oh, my God. They were a dumpster fire, and then here comes the ginger and the rookie wide receiver, and then a defense that decided they want to play now.
Right, the defense that lost, you know,
Jonathan Joseph.
Joseph, yeah.
Yeah, corner. Of course, they picked up all those Niners defensive players. Yeah. Maybe that's why they could play D.
Mm-hmm.
But as the Niners fan, first of all, thank you, gentlemen, for not preaching Homer as I ask this question.
Hey, let me just say something here.
Bring it.
All right. Alex Smith's got 1,400 yards. He's got a great rusher. He's got 10 touchdowns, 2 INTs. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
97 quarterback rating.
He was sacked 19 times, so.
Yeah, okay. At least he's not throwing the ball away and for interceptions.
First of all, let the record show, I'm still not a believer in Alex Smith. I'm sorry. Okay.
I know. Yep.
But here's what it is. I have harassed the Rex Grossman Bears for making the Super Bowl on the strength of a weak schedule for years, even before we were doing podcasting. And I think that these talks of the Niners being a potential Super Bowl contender and having a good record only has a little bit to do with the coaching change. I think it only really has a little bit to do with Alex Smith's performance, and that it's a symptom. Their schedule this year is absolutely rancidly bad. Gentlemen, the NFC West is a dumpster fire.
I think the Niners have more wins than all the other teams in the division combined.
Get a check on that if you don't mind while I'm talking here. But that would be a very interesting stat. You might be right. I don't know exact enough to figure it out. But because of that division... Okay, there you go. Hey. So, because of that division, there's math out there that makes it possible for the Niners to clinch by Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they clinched the division.
They're 5 games up.
Yeah. They are 5 games up.
5 games.
They're 7-1. Then you got Seattle 2-6, Arizona 2-6, and the Rams 1-7. So that's total combined. It's 5.
Well, really, the only reason that the Cardinals are 2-6 is because they were playing the Rams and someone had to win.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, unless it was a tie, but an 85-yard punt return took care of that. Mm. I'm not saying the Niners are going to make it to the Super Bowl, because here's the truth. They probably have to beat the Packers to get there. And they're not doing that. But Conference Championship Sunday? One, if the playoffs started today, they'd have to win one playoff game to achieve that. Because they'd have the bye, and they'd have home field as a divisional winner. Or check that. Yeah, as a divisional winner. number two in the conference. Dak?
Packers are beatable, though.
They're beatable, but with a passing game. And the Niners currently 30th.
Oh, 30th.
Not saying, just saying.
If you have a running game and your quarterback's making smart throws.
Hey, we don't have Christian Ponder, okay? So,
yeah, if you're looking at the NFC, for if the playoffs started today, you'd have Green Bay 1, the 49ers 2.
Yep.
Giants 3, Saints 4. At Detroit 5, Atlanta 6.
Who would be 3? Because that would be most likely who the Niners would be playing.
It would be the Giants. Giants are 6-2, and the Saints are 6-3. So it would go to the Giants since the winning percentage is a little higher.
No, but who's the... Oh, you're right. So they play the Giants, which, really honestly, to date, is their hardest game since the Lions.
They play on this Sunday coming
exactly.
up.
Exactly. How very relevant. Yeah. So we'll see how that will really go. Really, that's the playoff game for the 49ers right now. Anyways, so with that, we're already starting to get into the study hall, but let's settle down there. We still got featured game teams and superlatives to go through. Let's knock them down. One team you mentioned there in the playoff blitz is the New Orleans Saints, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were threatening to make an impact as they go into this game. I believe they were tied record-wise, but no more as the Saints prevail 27-16.
Saints had a game up.
So they did have a game up. Well, now they got two games up. Anyways, Josh Freeman at quarterback for the Bucs went 27-37, 73%, 281 yards with a touchdown. Quarterback Drew Brees for the Saints went 27-36. That's your basic 75%. 258 yards, two touchdowns with an interception. LeGarrette Blount makes his return this week. 13 carries for 72 yards, 4 yards a carry. Did also throw a punch in this game. Welcome back, Corey.
And a personal foul.
Chris Ivory started the game at running back for the Saints. 15 carries, 67 yards, 4.4 a carry. Pierre Thomas had 8 carries for 66 yards, 8.25 a carry with a touchdown. And Darren Sproles, 4 carries, 42 yards, about 10.5 a carry there. Also made an impact in the air game. 5 catches for 57 yards with a touchdown. Jimmy Graham was the best receiver for the Saints in terms of yards, 6 catches for 78 yards. And Lance Moore, 3 catches for 20 yards and a touchdown. In the air for the not-so-impressive air attack for the Bucs, Preston Parker had 3 catches for 55 yards. And the soldier himself, Kellen Winslow at tight end, 4 catches for 29 yards, managed a touchdown. Big difference maker for me here. Gentlemen, that third down percentage killed the Bucs. 2 for 12 at a mere 16% versus 50%, 5 for 10 by the Saints. Red zone percentage was 1 for 2 for the Bucs, 3 for 6 for the Saints. Sure, that's only 50% both times, but hey, when you get there 6 times in the red zone, you know, that means you move the ball a little bit there. Yeah. Two injuries of note for the Bucs: the defensive tackle Jerry McCoy out for the season with a torn bicep, and Tracy Porter of the Saints, most famously bringing back the interception that would seal the game when they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. He was listed with a neck injury. His status was still unknown when I last checked on it. So it's not sure whether he'll return. I would guess so. Just kind of made an awkward body tackle to make a play and had to leave the game from that point. Did so on a stretcher, went to the hospital, but was back in the locker room by the game's end. Anyway, so speaking of people who need to be let out on a stretcher, it would have been me as I fainted seeing what happened in this game. This next game coming up. You both looked at me like,
gotcha.
What?
I'm like,
who?
What are you talking about?
What? Stretcher? Are you okay, Kyle? No. But the next game we have coming up here, I was that shocked. Realizing that a team can be so bad that they're bad at losing. The Dolphins kill their efforts at the Suck for Luck campaign as they thrash the Chiefs 31-3. Matt Moore, quarterback for the Dolphins, had 13 for 23, 74%, 244 yards with your big 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, they need luck.
I sense a bit of very curious sarcasm there. Matt Castle for the Chiefs went 20 for 39, 51%, 253 yards. Not a great game, and he was sacked 5 times, whereas Moore was protected with your basic 0 sacks on the day. Running back Reggie Bush for the Dolphins, 13 carries for 92 yards, 7.1 a carry with a touchdown, starting to make a presence in the running game. It only took how many years? Anyways. On the ground for the Chiefs, Jackie Battle, 14 carries for 40 yards. Castle himself carried the ball 9 times for 38 yards. And Dexter McCluster had 7 carries for 36 yards. And I managed to finally say his name. That's nice. You know what else is nice? Receivers, when they actually decide to catch the ball. Brandon Marshall, 8 catches, 106 yards with a touchdown. Reggie Bush and Charles Clay both had 3 catches for 50 yards each. And Anthony Fasano, 2 catches for 38 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kind of a big deal for Anthony Fasano that day.
Yeah, that second touchdown catch, that was probably like the best offensive play called for the Dolphins all year long.
Ooh. So, is Dan Henning's job saved? Or,
it's actually probably the best play called on yesterday on there. I mean, roll out to the right, throw back across, you know, the field to a wide-open tight end because he was dragging across, no one around him.
Certainly one of the more creative ones you've seen from Dolphins, for sure.
One of the two best players. The other one was that Bruce Miller in touchdown.
Two of the 3 killer bees for the Chiefs. Steve Breston, 7 catches for 115 yards. And Dwayne Bowe, 6 catches for 88. Big difference maker here. The Chiefs are listed here as going 2 for 6 on fourth down. That should tell you alone how unproficient their offense was. 0 for 2 in the red zone. However, the Dolphins, not being very much like the Dolphins this week, 2 for 2 in the red zone. So that's 2 strong performances in a row that came on the strength of actual good red zone performance. Speaking of games that really you don't need an explanation for, 31-7, the Falcons beat the ever-hopeless Colts as they continue to suck for luck.
That was it? Only 31-7?
Huh?
Only 31-7?
I know, it's an improvement, right? They kept the other team under 40! Anyways, Matt Ryan, 14 for 24, 56%, 275 yards with 3 touchdowns and an INT. Curtis Painter, 13 for 27, 48%, 98 yards with an INT. And Dan Orzlowski making another appearance, 4 for 6, 67%. For 20 yards. They broke 100.
Let's see.
Michael the Burner Turner, 19 carries for 71 yards and a touchdown. Donald Brown leading amongst runners for the Colts, 16 of 70, 4.3. Delwin Carter, his major contribution on his 4 carry for 8 yard day, he had a lost fumble. Julio Jones went absolutely ballistically, just completely ape. 3 catches, 131 yards with 2 touchdowns. Say, Weasel, that's about 40-something yards catch, is it not?
Yeah, 43.7.
And
it's a great week to go against them in fantasy football.
Yeah, well stated, Weasel.
Not a touchdown, I don't think, all year.
His first one was a heck of a grab.
Yeah, no, that was one that was such a good catch. The ref have already waited off. Julio Jones points the side. No! No, challenge. It was funny to see him do that. Tony Gonzalez had a touchdown catch on his 4 catch for 36 yard day, and Austin Collie leading the pathetic performance, 4 catches for 32 yards. The difference in the game was the Falcons did good and the Colts didn't. His name was Julio Jones. That was the freaking difference. Okay, so now a little bit more of the epic matchups that we were promised this week. Making a drop about a former Super Bowl rematch. Interesting. Chris, go.
Well, tight end Jake Ballard came up with 2 nice catches on the final drive as the Giants rallied in the fourth quarter for the fourth time this year to beat the Patriots 24-20 in New England. Eli Manning, 20 for 39, only 51%, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT. The INT was in the end zone.
Aww.
When the score was 10-3. He was not sacked at all. Golden Boy Tom Brady, 28 for 49, 57%, 342 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs, 1 lost fumble, which led to the Giants' touchdown because it was on his own 8.
So, something I find very interesting. Last week, the Patriots, 10-3, get a key interception to keep themselves in the game. This week, Eli Manning, 10-3, throws a key interception to keep the Patriots in the game. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Are the Patriots just not as good as everyone thinks they are? I'm not saying I'm just saying.
Their defense is not very good.
I believe
32nd in the NFL in receiving defense, yes?
Yeah, so that's not very good.
They don't have a deep threat if you have a decent decent offense.
Dude, what about Ocho Cinco?
Anyway, he was targeted 4 times and no catches.
Is that all year?
No, yesterday's game.
That was cute, though.
On the ground for the Giants, Brandon Jacobs fell in for Ahmad Bradshaw, 18 for 72, 4-yard average with a touchdown.
Although a very disappointing effort to get into the end zone when it mattered towards the end of the game where he got stuffed, but I digress.
They still scored on there, though. Eli Manning had 3 carries for 11 yards. He had a 12-yarder on the final drive. For the Patriots, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis had 12 for 52, 4.3 a carry, and Danny Woodhead had 7 for 26, 3.7 a carry. Through the air for the Giants, Victor Cruz, 6 catches, 91 yards. Jake Ballard, 4 for 67 with a touchdown.
2 of which made for the game.
All right. Mario Manningham, 3 for 33 with a touchdown. Brandon Jacobs also had 4 for 28. For the Patriots, Wes Welker had 9 for 136 yards. Rob Gronkowski, 8 for 101 with a touchdown. Aaron Hernandez had 4 for 35 with a touchdown.
Can somebody help me with something? Can we, like, jam these tight ends? Seriously. No one puts a hit on Gronkowski that I've seen. Like, you know, you're Justin Tuck or Uzi Manura or Pierre Paul is the other guy, right?
Yeah.
Can we, like, get a jam, or do we care that much about getting a sack? Because, you know, if you disrupt Welker and Gronkowski, who's left? Hernandez? Okay, jam him too. Whatever. Hey.
Aaron Hernandez usually split out, so you have a little corner over a 6'4" guy.
Yeah, tight ends are usually big.
That's a good point.
but Gronkowski's usually on the line, so yeah, you can jam him with a defensive end or something.
I'm just saying.
All right, for big difference in here is turnovers. 2 for the Giants, 4 for New England. It was actually only 3 until the very last play, which were all 3 were from Tom Brady. The Giants, one was the Eli Manning's in the end zone. The other one was Aaron Ross muffed a punt, which led to a New England field goal. Time of possession was about the same as well. Third down, 4 for 14 for the Giants, 29%. 5 for 15 for the Patriots, 33%. Red zone, 3 for 5 for the Giants. 2 for 4 for the Patriots. The Giants, you know, interception and a field goal in the red zone. The Patriots was a missed field goal. That's on Jake Gostkowski on. And a field goal as well.
I thought that you might also bring up penalties.
Yeah, I'll get in there.
Ah, okay.
6 for 50 for the Giants and 7 for 81 for the Patriots.
Yeah, you were getting there, definitely.
20 of those 81 yards came from a pass interference call on the last drive, which was on the goal line, which put the Giants on the 1 with... No, it was less than a minute left. They scored with 15 seconds left to... seal the game.
It wasn't so much that it was pass interference as much as it was receiver rape. Receiver rape and mishandling of receivers. Really kind of a theme in our next game. Weasel?
Even though there was bad officiating against both teams, a good team overcomes it as the Ravens beat the Steelers 23-20.
What?
Ooh, that's a little misleading. Both teams you could argue overcame it, but I digress.
Both teams did, yeah.
Well, you call the Ravens a good team?
Yeah, they're
I know, I'm just saying. Your team.
When have I said that the Ravens
were
a good team?
You haven't, but, yeah. You know. You're a Steelers fan. And
he's trying to say home.
You're a Steelers fan, and you're calling your biggest rival.
Well, they're a team that could beat the Steelers, just not so much in the playoffs.
Hey, let's be real. My dude is excited that, you know, they kept it within, you know, 20. I'm just saying.
So, Big Ben Roethlisberger was 20 of 37, 54%, 330 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT. He was sacked once, and he had 3 scrambles for 13 yards. Rashard Menenal had 13 rushes for 52 yards, 4-yard average with a touchdown. Receiver Antonio Brown had 5 catches for 109 yards. Tight end Heath Miller had 5 for 73. Mike Wallace had 4 for 68 with a touchdown. Jericho Cotchery had 3 for 44. Hines Ward was held without a catch, and he left the game the second quarter with a stinger after I don't know if y'all saw the hit on by Ray Lewis. And
mm-hmm. Oh, it was helmet to helmet.
It was helmet to helmet, and it's one thing to, you know, not call it, but Jim Harbaugh, I think it's
John Harbaugh.
Yeah, he challenged it, and it's like the guy got, I think, pretty much knocked out. I mean, a stinger or whatever. And they challenged the play, and it was ruled an incomplete.
And on top of that, what made it incomplete was a defender coming in after, long after Hines Ward had established a position and was falling on the ground, and he's like two or three beats after the play is over and hits the ball out, and that's an incomplete pass. Here we are, back to this, oh, it has to be a catch all the way to the ground, BS.
Well, I mean, if they called the helmet to helmet, I mean, that would have took care of it.
That's not challengeable.
But the there was about, like, I think about the next drive, Ed Dixon, the tight end for the Ravens, was going down the middle, and Ryan Clark, the safety for the Steelers, he dove at him. I think he led with his helmet, and I don't think it was like head on type of thing. I think it grazed his helmet. It was a helmet to helmet hit, but it's like, if you're gonna call
it
both ways.
It certainly was not as forceful as Ray Lewis's. That's an excellent point. Although I don't think they were right next to each other within the incurrence of the game. The point is close. The consistency is nil.
Yeah. So now, see, so for the Steelers, they were without their two top linebackers, James Ferrier and Lamar Woodley. But he got linebacker James Harrison did fill in nicely. He
former defensive player of the year.
Yeah, he was sacked Flacco three times, and Flacco did have a last fumble. Finished 28 of 47, 59%, 300 yards, one touchdown, no INTs.
Now, let's have the record show. Do you understand how Weasel just reported the Steelers' sack count? He got three sacks, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's because when he was out, Woodley was getting all the sacks. It's just like interchangeable, dude.
You know, and of course, that being said, definite props to both offensive lines in this game, the Steelers especially. Because if you got a team contain Nada and Lewis and T Sizzle, which, by the way, that ape, yeah, I said it. That ape is on my list of people who I don't like anymore because, if you're going to have your face in the camera, don't look like an ape when you do it. And for those of you who want to try to make that a racial thing, Weasel, it's not. The dude just looked like an ape with the face he made in the camera. I don't care what color, you looked like an ape when you did that there, Sizzle. I'm just saying. Does that mean he's going to say that I declared war? Jeez. Carry on, Weasel.
Okay. So, first play of the game, Ray Rice had a 76-yard touchdown callback due to a questionable holding call by rookie wide receiver Torrey Smith. He looked like he brought him to the ground, but he had him held on his jersey and right in front of him, and may have brought him to the ground, but I mean, maybe should not have been called.
Let me help you with something, Weasel. Two things. First of all, this is radio, so people didn't see the hand motion you made. Hands were inside. Okay. That's a block. Period. Here's the other thing. There weren't hands inside. That was just a blow. It was contact. It was a horrible call.
Yeah.
That was not a hold. That was a freaking block. I'm not saying.
Yeah,
I am.
Now, the refs also, they say that they took away a goal line touchdown in the last play of that same drive when they blew the whistle, possibly early, saying that Ray Lewis's forward progress at the
Ray
goal line.
Ray Rice's.
Forward progress was stopped as he pushed into the end zone.
Here's the thing about it. Could it be argued that the refs blew the whistle too soon and that Ray Rice could have broken the plane? Yes, that is a legitimate beef. The way he got through to break the plane was through an illegal act committed by Vontae Leach, who pushed him into the end zone. Weasel, you remember this being called in one of the Steelers Super Bowls, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. You want to replay that? Sure. Maybe, hopefully, Cundiff can kick the, 30-something yarder versus the 20-something yard chip shot that he had. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They were on the one. The less than 20-yard chip shot that he had. You go ahead and do that there, Ray.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, he finished with 18 rushes for 43 yards, 2.4 average with a touchdown. Ricky Williams had 9 for 24, 2.7 average. Receiving game, Anquan Boldin had 7 catches for 88 yards. The rookie Torrey Smith had 5 for 71 with a touchdown. Tight end Dennis Pitta had 5 for 46, and Rice had 5 for 43.
It's not Pitta, it's Pitta.
Pitta! Dennis Pitta.
It's not quite Bo Scaife, but we'll work on it.
Yeah. Now, the Steelers got 2 fourth quarter touchdowns to put them up 20-16. They had a chance to go up 7 with only 2:30 left in the game. And by kicking a 45-yard field goal, it's tough kicking field goals in the state in Heinz Field.
Absolutely.
But 45-yarder, you kind of take it. But Tomlin said after the game, indecisiveness was part of the reason why they got the 5-yard penalty. And so they ended up punting it.
Part of. That's the entire reason you got the 5-yard penalty.
Yeah, well. Now, so it's, so that was like a 50-yard field goal. Still makeable, but you would be giving the Ravens the ball at about the 35-yard line or so. So, understandable.
Be at the 40 if you missed.
40?
Where the ball is placed. If it would have been a 50-yard field goal. Would have been on the 40-yard line.
Oh, that's true, yeah. It's
a little further forward of that, actually.
No, that's true, because you have to add 50
yards. It's where the ball is placed on the field goal, not where the line of scrimmage is. It's where the ball is placed in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. But you're assuming a 10-yard difference. They usually go a little bit further than 10, is it not?
They go 8 yards for field goals.
Okay.
Used to be 7. They do 8 now.
Okay. Ah, so if you miss the field goal, it's where the ball was kicked?
It's from where the ball is kicked, not from the original line of scrimmage.
Huh. I didn't know that.
I don't know if I did or not. I'll say I didn't to make you feel better, Weasel.
Okay. So, they did elect to punt, and they pinned the Ravens at their own 8-yard line. Now,
1st and 92. All right, we're probably going to go to overtime.
Flacco's got some, not overtime. They were down by 4.
No, so I guess overtime isn't an option.
So, not an option.
Two quick safeties.
So.
Let's make this interesting. Go out on the one.
So, like, the Ravens, their teammates and fans have been questioning Flacco is,
The whole NFL world has been questioning Flacco. Come on,
yeah,
buddy.
So,
except Flacco.
He did orchestrate a 13-play drive that ended with rookie Torrey Smith catching a 26-yard touchdown with 8 seconds left. You could say, was it a push-off? I don't know.
Oh, no, it was.
Yeah.
However.
But I think Ryan Clark should have been over the top. I mean.
There's that. In addition to the fact to where there was a little other extracurricular just in general, throughout plays in the red zone. For example, 2 plays previous where Torrey Smith had a drop with an opportunity to end the game with a catch.
Yeah, you have 4 plays before. Yeah,
he's got it written down.
We'll go ahead and walk through it.
Yeah, so he dropped that long touchdown pass. I think it was like right in his fingers.
There was some extracurricular there on the defensive bat for the Steelers, in the interest of full disclosure.
So, so that was with 8 seconds left, so... Ravens won.
What about the play previous to the game-winning catch? You see who made a drop there? Anquan Boldin. Dropping a catch with a chance to win the game.
Usually sure hands.
And then all of a sudden, they go all rookie on him. And then Boldin goes, hey, that reminds me of another steal that dropped an important pass and then made another important catch later. Something about beating the Cardinals in the Super Bowl or something.
Yep.
Anyway.
Good old San Antonio Holmes. Big factor in the Ravens winning this game was their third down conversions. 14 of 21, 67%, which led them in the time of possession by 8 minutes.
Did you happen to catch the red zone percentage?
No, what was it?
1 for 2 for the Ravens, 1 for 4 for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal. Good stat on the third down percentage, too.
21 attempts on third down.
I know.
Yeah. You have some games that neither team has that many.
Yeah.
Combined.
Now, I'm not going to start saying that Flacco is the man on the strength of that one drive. It was a good drive. But, gentlemen, not enough respect was given to the beef this week. Oh, yeah, I get it. James Harrison got 3 sacks, 2 of which occurred when someone other than an O-lineman was blocking him, a tight end or a running back. So that means he only got 1 sack facing off against the O-line. That's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. How many times was Ben sacked, Weasel?
He was sacked once.
Once?
Yeah.
With Haloti Ngata and T-Sizzle and Ray Lewis.
Big difference has been Starks coming back, so...
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
He's been solid for him.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger leads the league in sacks.
In time sacks, yeah. And, well, you can't blame this game for it.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. We both know that the O-line started out questionable for the Steelers. Well, they play good this game. I'll give you that. So now we're going to transition to something. It being week 9, All 32 teams have had 8 games for a body of work that we can now do mid-season awards. Me being the host, I will go last in every topic. But Weasel, we'll go ahead and start with you. Give me your mid-season MVP.
MVP first? Wow.
That's just how we do it.
I thought you'd do it at the end.
Runner-up, I mean, what an MVP is kind of the player that is most important to his team. And if he's not there, I mean, they may suck. So
my runner-up. This is a lot of explanation. This is going to be a shitty pick.
No.
My runner-up.
I was actually going to pick this.
My runner-up is Peyton Manning.
I was going to make that joke.
I almost put him as my MVP because how bad the Colts are.
He's been.
I was going to make the joke.
He's the most valuable player in the league.
The past like 12 seasons, they've won at least. Hasn't that been 10 games?
Hey, man. You guys were the one who picked Tom Brady last year when I picked Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
so
well,
to the choir you preach.
Well, it's like you. A lot of times you don't appreciate someone until he's gone.
Well spoken, Lisa.
Yeah.
Who's your real pick?
Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Packers.
Anybody not have Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. 24 touchdowns to 3 INTs. Big reason why they're undefeated.
I thought it was just 20.
24.
No, it's 24.
And he's got two rushing. And big reason why they're undefeated. I mean, the Packers defense hasn't been as...
Yeah, don't give me big reason, the reason.
Packers defense hasn't been as good as last year, and... It's just the Packers are putting points on the board. So.
Pop quiz, gentlemen. 2 reasons that the Packers are, in my view, undefeated. Aaron Rodgers is 1. What's number 2?
Gonna say Clay Matthews? Pressure, at least. Maybe
it can't be anyone on that defense. Not when you're 31st in passing defense. It's a lot more obvious than you think.
The center?
Close. I was gonna say the whole line. Thank you, Weasel.
So.
Anyways.
Yeah, but you know, like I see 72.5% accuracy.
An awesome completion percentage. That was a good stat, Chris.
QB rating, 129.9. I know you don't like QB rating,
yeah,
but
yeah,
129.
Yeah.
The next closest in QB rating is 100.6, which is Drew Brees.
And Drew Brees has 8 more interceptions than
him. Yeah, but he also has 400 more yards.
Well, since we all picked Aaron Rodgers for our MVP, I'm going to go I had second place, but I did put him down as my offensive player. The man himself in Detroit, Megatron. That's right, I was considering a receiver, Calvin Johnson, as MVP. But gentlemen, he's got 11 touchdowns. Second place, it's not close.
So you put him as offensive player of the year?
I did.
So did we.
Offensive player of the year.
All right, 2 for 2.
Second place is 7 players with 6 touchdowns.
And the reason why he should be at least getting votes for MVP is the body of work that is the Lions' wins. How many comebacks? And how many comebacks of 3 touchdowns or more?
What was the game where he had, it was one of the, I think it was the game-winning touchdown. It was a throw up to the end zone. He was
which
trying.
One? But I think you mean
three,
versus the
three
Cowboys.
3 defenders.
Yeah, that's the Cowboys.
Yeah, 3 defenders around him just came down with it. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Solid.
I know that you're an NFC North guy who's playing against the Packers and the Lions, but you know that's a good Thanksgiving game. You know this.
Right. Yeah.
Go with her. When I was watching the one stat you guys might not had is when I was watching the Dolphins Chiefs game yesterday. Like, oh, Dwayne Bowie, yes, on 3rd down they've thrown the ball 13 times, 12 of them been for first downs.
That's a good stat.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson, 40 first downs.
40.
But hey, maybe I should
have
put
in receptions.
If I'd known y'all fools were going to come out with Rodgers, I would have just put Megatron to be contrarian. It's the midseason awards, right?
All right. 40 catches is good.
So, Weasel, tell us why you picked Jared Allen as Defensive Player of the Year.
Wow. He's got...
That's him?
Yeah.
I'm so shocked.
Well, it's not only 36 tackles, 26 solos, good. He gets the, he's a good defender against the run and stuff.
Do you have any idea how much the leading tackler in the league actually has? More than twice that.
Yeah, that's that Colts guy because they're on the field. So,
No. I'm more referring to like a Navarro Bowman. Oh, for those who don't know, that's the guy who stands next to Patrick Willis for the Niners.
Yeah. So, he has 12 and a half sacks. Now, the difference between other players. He has 5 passes defended with 1 INT, 3 forced fumbles, and 3 recoveries.
See,
so,
I'm glad you gave me a little beef on those stats. That's
so
good.
He's been a force, and he's been a difference maker for him.
Pat Angler.
And by the way, the thing that prevented me from considering Jared Allen myself, we've talked about the 2 worst passing defenses in the league. The 3rd worst, The Vikings.
Okay, here's an interesting thing about... Were you going to mention that?
No, I was like, Pat Angerer leads the league with 98 total tackles.
Now...
And second place is 76. 22 below.
By the way, that's still more than twice.
You have 46 for fifth place. Indianapolis Colt, Bethea. And about ninth place is linebacker Cavell Connor for the Colts, 34. I mean, they're on the field a lot. So
yeah, you gotta realize defensive linemen do not get that many tackles. So if you look into it, you gotta take in consideration sacks.
You picked him too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Oh. I tried not to pick him, but when you have not even if you take the sacks out, tackles out, or whatever. All right, you have 5 pass breakups, 1 interception. When you're on the defensive line, right there alone, 3 forced fumbles and 3 fumble recovers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm like, I'm trying not to pick him. I was trying to look at it and everything else. I was looking at. I'm like, I gotta pick him. You can't just go off of tackles on defense.
Well, gentlemen, this is a name more known, or a name more that you would hear and associate with Dennis the Menace, and I'm referring to George Wilson. No, he's not the next door neighbor. He's the strong safety for the Buffalo Bills. The stats I have written down here, he's third. Check that, not third. He's got 4 picks. League leader is 6. He's got 54 tackles, the top legitimate options being at 61. 10 passes defended, and oh, by the way, as a safety, forced fumble. Also playing the likes of Tom Brady, for example. You know, that whole 4 interception game.
Yeah, 2 in that game. So, and I think actually all 4 of his interceptions come in the last 4 games.
Right, and the thing that maybe put off Jared Allen for now is who have they played? They have a game against the Packers. That's a big deal. And Jared Allen was the biggest factor, in my opinion, in the Panther game, even though they lost that. The Chiefs, the Chargers.
They played the Lions too.
Did they play the Lions?
Yeah, they played the Lions.
Oh right, that's the game that they. Should have won 20-0.
There's a couple games that they should have won.
You know, but not yet. Chances are, if he keeps his pace, which, you know, I mean, is a retarded great pace, and it's called what it is. 12 sacks already? It's awesome.
12 and a half.
Excuse me. But he has more than half of his team's sacks then. Because they have 24 on the season, I believe. As a team.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I have to do this part to recognize. Jared Allen is a good player. I want to see what he does full year before I give him that award.
Last year, he had a total, I think it was like 10 or 11 sacks.
Good call, Weasel. Anyways, go to offensive rookie. Did anybody not have the ginger? I'm just asking.
Yes, of course.
You did not have the ginger?
I did not have the ginger.
Okay.
You didn't have the ginger?
Nope.
Oh, wow. Well, I got the ginger. Andy Dalton for the Cincinnati Bengals. Because it's the Bengals. And they're not a dumpster fire. I don't need stats. I got that.
Yeah, they're a dumpster fire, but Benson's decent. You have a guy named...
No!
Benson's all right.
Cedric Benson, really?
Really? He was getting yards last year.
Really?
Last year he was getting yards.
Why was he getting yards last year, Weasel?
Because garbage.
Exactly.
But still. And they have some guy named... What? That
Green,
Green guy?
AJ
yeah.
Green.
He's a rookie.
He's a rookie, but he's not
okay.
Like.
Maybe he's doing
your,
great. He's doing
I
great.
I think he was like a 5th overall pick.
Number
or so.
3 overall.
Yeah.
Jerome Simpson. How many years is he in the league? 3? 2? Still
yeah.
Pretty young.
Okay.
Who's their tight end? Anyone know?
Yeah, Jermaine Gresham.
Jermaine Gresham. Another new guy, huh? Interesting. Mm-hmm. I know they still don't have Brian Leonard in the backfield, but this time, the beginning of the season, you're giving me all this with AJ Green and all that, okay? All 3 of us had them set to rights dead as a dumpster fire. And granted, gentlemen, it's midseason awards. I'll be a lot more critical come the end of the season myself. But you got to at least consider the ginger.
Of course. Of course you can consider the ginger. I think the difference, though, with Cam Newton, I mean...
Nice transition. I like what you did there.
He's got, I mean, 2,400 yards. The thing about him was that he's a number 1 pick. Dalton was early 2nd round.
Yes.
And the thing about it, nobody expected him to be an accurate passer.
No, I didn't.
He's got, I think, Dalton is 61%.
Mm-hmm.
I think 61, 62%. Cam Newton's 60.6%.
They're both 61.
Well, he's 11 touchdowns, 9 INTs,
They're both the same.
They're about the same there.
Give me the one thing that's different.
7 rushing touchdowns.
That's my boy.
And he's got about, what is it, I think 400 yards or so? 300 yards? So...
Cam Newton has 800 more yards than Andy Dalton.
And that's all great, and you're giving me good stats, but here's the piece I can't quite get around. In a division where the Ravens and the Steelers both exist...
How many times did they play the Steelers?
No, none yet, but let me finish.
Right. Okay.
In a division where they both exist, no, they haven't played the Steelers. I understand that. And that's a fair point.
Yeah.
But they're still in contention for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Because I originally put down Andy Dalton. I picked Cam Newton. So I picked Andy Dalton.
And Cam Newton's a fine pick.
But then I looked at the games that they played. You got to look at Andy Dalton. What their record was? You said 5-2, 6-2, or whatever. What one?
They won last
one,
week.
3, 4, 5. They're 6-2. Mm-hmm. Okay. They beat Cleveland. They beat Denver. They beat Buffalo. Buffalo's a good
team. That's a big deal.
They beat Buffalo, yeah.
They beat Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Seattle, and Tennessee.
They're not all very good.
Okay.
That's a good point. No, their schedule is crap. Hey, it works for the Niners.
He's doing great. I mean, he deserves consideration.
Right. He took consideration. I originally put him down. I wrote all the stats down and everything.
You saw the schedule.
I saw the schedule.
I'll give you a view. Cam Newton has had to play the Packers.
Yeah, that's what I'm
He's had to play the Saints already, I believe, yeah?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do right now.
He had to face Jared Allen.
How did Steve Smith do last year?
He
was hurt. Okay.
Cam
certainly didn't do anything with your boy from Notre Dame.
Not my boy. the guy that has like that scrunchy face.
I can't call him scrunchy face guy. What's his name? Dang it.
Scrunchy face.
Huh?
The Notre Dame guy for the quarterback before.
Brady
Quinn. No. The
Clawson.
Oh, Clawson.
Jimmy Clawson. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're talking about that. Okay, so Cam Newton, he played against Cardinals first game of the season, rookie. Okay, threw for 422 yards.
That's a lot.
The Cardinals.
Oh, Cardinals.
But they lost 21-28. Next week against Green Bay, they lost by 7.
One touchdown. Yeah.
Yeah, he had 432 yards
and 3 interceptions or something.
Yeah, he had 3 interceptions, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. Jacksonville, they won the next week. Okay, then he played against the Bears, lost by 5. Played against the Saints, lost by 3. Played against Atlanta, lost by 14, but then they beat Washington, and then they lost to Minnesota.
Other than the Chiefs, I thought they beat Minnesota.
No, they lost.
They lost to Minnesota.
Okay. Oh yeah, we all beat the Vikings.
That was
Ponder. But
other than the Cardinals,
very interesting thing, gentlemen. In all of Newton's losses, save his game opener.
Right.
There's one of two things in common with the opponents he played. Anyone else spot it? I've given you one of them.
Four of them were in the playoffs last year.
That's a good point. That's not where I'm going. I gave you one of them. Jared Allen is one of three solid DNs he played. Julius Peppers, Donnie Abraham for the Falcons, Julius Peppers obviously for the Bears, and then, of course, Jared Allen. The rest, pretty high-powered passing attacks.
So he's got to keep up with them.
Exactly. So, yeah. No. And I'm saying all this. Cam Newton's a fine pick. But the Bengals were said to be that bad.
Yeah.
Now, again.
Well, if you look back at our preseason, the Panthers were that bad, too. I think we all didn't pick anything more than 4 wins either.
Clawson stunk. And
yes, he did.
Yeah, I don't know how long. I don't know. I think Steve Smith played a good portion of the year. And he didn't do much.
He was hurt for a while. This is that flag football thing.
Yeah, he broke his arm in the beginning of the season.
Yeah. So.
No, but, I mean, Steve Smith is helping along. And let's give some people some props. Whoever had the brains to go chase down Greg Olsen for this incoming rookie, very smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Anyways, defensive rookie. This one's going to be a lot tougher, I think.
Yes.
But
there's no one that stands out.
Weasel, who you got?
Got Von Miller, linebacker for the Broncos. 31 tackles, 25 solo, 6.5 sacks. Not bad. 2 forced fumbles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris.
I'm going fantasy route. Defense/special teams. Patrick Peterson. All right, and the QB for the Cardinals.
You said QB.
Yeah, DB.
DB.
Or QB. Or CB. Or whatever, yeah.
That guy.
Cornerback. Right. All right. He had 2 punt returns for touchdown in the last 2 games. Yesterday was a 99-yarder for the game winner in overtime.
Which you don't field a punt. Or check that. A kickoff on the one. Like, you just don't do that in an overtime game. But
All right, he's had six pass breakups and 32 touchdowns. He's only had one interception, but, you know, it is the Cardinals. They don't have a good pass rush.
So. Well, I got somebody else on my list who has one interception. Redskins linebacker Ryan Kerrigan has one interception.
That was my runner-up.
I couldn't go with Miller because of the division he plays in, but I could see why you picked him.
Kerrigan had a better stats than Von Miller.
Correct. He was fifth among rookies in tackles with 23. He has a pick, three sacks, granted not six, but two forced fumbles as well. So, you know, for a rookie, kind of a big deal there.
Yeah, he was my runner-up. I mean, I like the Von Miller. The only thing is Von Miller had more hype going into the season.
Correct.
He was drafted number two overall. Yeah.
Correct.
And Kerrigan was drafted...
I couldn't tell you where.
Further down than that.
Yeah, definitely. Well further down. So, but your runner-up was...
My runner-up was Kerrigan.
Oh, it was Kerrigan. Okay,
yeah, cool. I said Patrick Peterson is my first one.
And last but not least, gentlemen, midseason coach of the year. I'm going to go first because mine's boring. I got Mike McCarthy because he's undefeated. Simply put. Weasel.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, see? You know why I couldn't pick Jim Harbaugh, right?
Homer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So he's winning with Alex Smith, who finally is winning.
Eight years.
Yeah. And he chose to still keep him, and I mean, they re-signed him. And
has anyone here owned their car for 8 years? Weasel might have. I'm not sure.
I think so. Maybe
the fact that you had to think of it, the fact that you had to think of it makes the point of how long it's taken Alex Smith to decide to get good. And oh, by the way, it's because they're playing a crappy schedule.
Don't say good. I've written down he made Alex Smith look like a decent quarterback.
Yeah. Thank you.
Not good. Decent.
Also picking the younger.
Yes, I picked Harbaugh because, you know, 7-1 record as a rookie coach with the lockout.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't have all summer long to be there with all his players. And for him to come in as new coach with, you know, learning the players, they did go with Alex Smith and go through this one. I mean, it's just he knows how to win. And he knew how to win at Stanford, turned that program around, and like here in the Niners already in the pros now. So.
Well, we've talked about praise. It's time to go to the study hall, where we might need to institute detention after how someone did this week. Chris, tell us all about it.
Mid-year, we're both 3-2, and Weasel was a whopping 1-4.
1-4, two games.
What are you, an ESPN analyst?
Hey, great football minds always have a bad week.
So,
hold on. There's bad, and then there's you. I'm just saying.
Two games back behind y'all?
No, you're four games total for the season. We're both 47-19. He is 43-23.
All right.
And you and I, though, are pending a split on the Monday night game here, so we'll have that next week.
Yeah, I might be 5 up on Weasel or only 3, so.
And that means I might be 5 up on Weasel. I'm going to be 4 up on him no matter what because he's got the Bears.
Yep.
So there you go. So, hey, at the very, you could only be down 3 games, Weasel. You're right. You're still in this mug because there's still plenty of football left. That's right. There's 8 weeks left.
Let's see.
Gain that in 1 week. You can gain that next week because there's 9 games.
Oh, snap.
There are 8 games, my bad. Oh, we covered 8 games. There's a total of 9 picks.
Let's bust them out.
All right. Lions at Bears, 1 p.m.
The Bears don't have enough offense. I got the Lions. Chris.
I got the Lions as well. I preseason picked them to win both games this year.
I did too. There you go. Weasel.
Forte's been doing good, though. And he has been doing good, but they got a D-line. The Lions do. So
both teams do, but...
Yeah. But they got the passing power of the Lions pretty good.
Megatron.
So, yeah, Lions.
Next game, Texans at Bucks.
Chris.
I got the Texans on this one. The Bucks, especially with Gerald McCoy out. They didn't look all that great against the Saints. Bucks, so I got the Texans.
I got the Texans as well. Part of it is Gerald McCoy. The other part is the fact that they have not one runner, but two. Arian Foster, Ben Tate. Both doing very good on the ground. Schaub doing just enough to fake a good performance on offense when they're clicking. The only chance that the Bucks have is to stop the run. They won't. Texans.
Andre Johnson's back next week.
And
I forgot
about that.
Yeah. I was gonna pick the Bucks, but Andre Johnson's pretty good.
You mean it wasn't on the strength of Owen Daniels?
Okay, Texans.
Contrarian fail.
Yeah.
Next one.
Next one, NFC South showdown, Saints Falcons.
I can't, with a straight face, even give the Falcons a fair chance after the way the first game went. The Steelers' O-line isn't awesome, but they're good enough. And oh, by the way, balanced offense for the win. The Saints' defense have actually been tending to look pretty angry. If you saw any of the Bucs game, there's some mean plays there by the Saints' D. I got the Saints. Chris?
I got the Saints as well. They beat the Colts by 62.
Hey, 55. Get it right.
Oh, yeah, 55. The Falcons only won by 24. However, that you didn't mention it. That touchdown that the Colts scored was interception return for a touchdown.
That's
so
right.
I got the Saints on this one.
I'm going to get the Falcons on this one. I'm going to get the Falcons.
Any football reason? Just saying.
They got the running game. And
Who's their running back, Weasel?
Michael Turner.
Okay, there you go. Next
Turner,
game.
He's good. And they've actually been winning the past few weeks, so they beat the Lions.
Yeah, so. Well.
Jags at Colts.
This is really difficult, but not that difficult. Jags. Chris.
I got the Jags as well. Hopefully their defense plays like they did against Baltimore before the bye.
Well stated. Weasel.
Jags.
Not feeling that contrarian,
yeah,
are you?
No.
Yeah. Newly acquired receiver, Mike Sims-Walker,
right,
is on IR.
Ah, that didn't take long.
One game.
I guess that bye week was pretty rough on him.
Yeah. Next game, Redskins at Finns.
Chris.
I got the Finns with this one. Redskins, if they're starting John Beck, I got the Finns, especially that way, how their defense played against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Redskins, they got some injuries going on right there. Their Dolphins defense is going to be too powerful for them.
The Skins played against a tough defense last week in the 49ers and hung in but lost. John Beck will be playing his former team, and it won't matter. I got the Skins. Weasel.
You got
the Finns. Weasel.
All right.
See, it rhymes. That's what made it bad for me. I'm sorry.
It's like, I think the Dolphins are definitely going to win. I got the Skins.
No, I did that. Man. You
got the Dolphins.
You got the Finns also?
Yeah.
All right. Next one, AFC North, Steelers at Bengals.
I am very, very curious to see how the Ginger is going to do against the Steelers. All that being said, I have no trouble believing that despite the fact that they're a good defense, that Ben will continue to play at a very high level. The past two games, he's played strong teams, only one of them having really a defense that's worth a damn. The one turnover he had was an overshifted lucky guess. Not to hate on Terrell Suggs on that particular play. It was a great play. He made a great move. I don't really feel like that was a Ben mistake as much as that was just an excellent film study play by Terrell Suggs. That being said, I got the Steelers. Chris.
I got the Steelers in this one. The Bengals really haven't played anyone this year. And, the Steelers defense, especially after losing to the Ravens, it's going to left a bad taste in their mouth. They're going to just come out fired up.
Yeah, they're not going to be very happy about it.
Weasel.
Steelers.
Next game, 4:15, Giants at Niners.
Woo!
It's a tough one.
I started the last two, Chris.
Niners going to be 8-1. Get the Niners.
Really? I have no idea what to expect from Alex Smith here, to be honest.
Two words, Jim Harbaugh.
True. But then, I was really floating on this. Because, I'm looking at the schedule as a Niners and I'm going, wow, the Giants. Oh, I'm going to have to talk about this game. Damn it. Oh. The only thing I'm really worried about with the Giants is that D-line. And guess what? The Niners have faced, at the very least, a comparable D-line. Gentlemen, who was it? The Lions.
Lions.
Yeah.
And they won.
I believe they can stop the Lions because I believe the Niners can stop the Giants on the line because they don't have a comparable defensive tackle presence that the Lions do. And the Niners were successful against that. The Giants can't stop the run worth a damn anyway. Guess what? Frank Gore can run the ball good. I got the Niners. Weasel.
Over. I got the Niners.
You've been waiting how long?
Yeah, I thought you were going to pick Jim Harbaugh up, so I had to wait for something.
All right. AFC East, Pats at Jets. Sunday night.
Gosh. You know, if Sean Green wasn't hurt, and if Mark Sanchez looked better as a third-year quarterback, this would be an easy Jets pick. However, because of the fact I see Sanchez making some sort of an error, because of the fact that having two talented tight ends, they're taking the corners out of the picture, I don't want to, but I've got the Pats. Chris.
I got it. I'm going to stick with my stick with my preseason pick. I get the Jets beating them at home.
Homer.
Yes, I know. But, you know, even though without Sean Green, he was a bit dizzy. He probably, so it was like a little concussion, but he might be back. Just how the Jets handled the Bills this weekend, their defense, with their high power, you know, offense. And, I mean, what was it? Fitzpatrick had how many yards? 100 and something, I think, was passing against. And, you know, they got a couple game films here. They just got game films here against the Patriots.
Yeah, Rich Ryan
on.
Seems to find a way to compete in the very
right.
least.
I mean, the Jets, you got a couple game films. You got the Steelers and the Giants on how to beat Brady.
But then when Belichick finds some way to react and adjust by then?
All right. They have no deep threat. Just keep everyone in front and they'll do it. And now they got the Jets.
Weasel.
Just a side note about the Sanchez. Did anyone see the... it was about like 3 minutes left in the Buffalo game, and Sanchez runs for a... he was on the wideout, and it was like a wildcat play,
mm-hmm.
and the runner goes... and so before the snap, the defender, the cornerback for the Bills, flinches at him, and he like sticks his hands out in front of him like, oh my gosh, don't hit me.
Okay, first of all, it wasn't quite that bad.
Yes, it was, actually.
No, it really
wasn't.
His
hands went forward.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't. You got it wrong. That being said, he did flinch like a little punk. You ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
But, no, the, well, let me ask you this question. Would you split him out? I didn't think so.
I don't think it was, you know.
But it was a Wildcat. No, you're right.
I know.
He's not Andrew Luck.
It was funny, though.
It was funny.
So, that being said, I got the Jets.
Oh, my goodness.
And Monday night, Vikes at Pack.
Is anyone picking the Vikings?
The thing is, I mean...
Are you picking them or not? I'm only doing this because we're running pretty long.
I want to, but no.
I like it. All right, in that case, we got the study hall done. You guys know the drill. You can always find us at www.thestudentofthegame.com. Follow us on Twitter at TheSOTG or fire us an email, TheSOTG@gmail.com. Through any of those options, you can reach us. Always leave a comment on the website, of course. Subscribe to us on iTunes, possibly. That way we can be delivered right to you. Isn't that a good time?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Any other questions? No? None? With that, class dismissed.